Pastor Joe.
And I'm Kirsten.
We've served in church leadership for over two decades.
And most of that, we've been on staff together.
We're here to talk about our faith, family, and ministry.
Welcome to Under the Hood.
You know, the last several weeks, we've had several of our Go partners here on the podcast, and we're really excited about having another one today, Pastor Elisha from India, and we're looking forward to hearing his story.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, he's been now to the United States twice.
Yeah.
And the first time that he was here a year or so ago, I had an opportunity to sit down and just visit with him one-on-one, get to know him a little bit, just amazed at the ministry and just his life story, just his life story alone about how Christ came into his family. And now what has happened in his family all these years afterward, just what the work they're doing. It's an amazing story.
You know, he has a strong accent. So you do have to really pay attention to, sometimes he would say things and I'm like, huh? So it's really sometimes hard to understand certain accents, but pay attention because he's got some incredible stuff to say.
Absolutely. So we're going to welcome Pastor Elisha here to the podcast, and I really hope you guys will enjoy this and you'll be inspired by this sit-down conversation that we have with him. Pastor Elisha, welcome to the Under the Hood podcast.
We're so glad to have you.
Praise the Lord. I am very happy to be with you all.
Yay. Oh,
so are we. So are we. Welcome. Just real quick, how many times have you been to the United States now?
This time I came for seven times, like that.
Okay.
Seven? Yeah. All right. Okay.
So I was glad that at lunch today, we got to introduce you to an American classic. Fried pickles dipped in ranch dressing.
Oh, my goodness. That is first time I taste that ranch. What is that?
Ranch.
Ranch. First time.
We introduced him to ranch dressing. I don't think. Okay, we do have a picture of it. However, we did not get a picture of his facial reaction to eating it, which I don't think was a positive one.
Yeah, because India, we have different menus and we have the different dishes.
Yeah.
It is totally different in America.
So you're saying
I will say this. Growing up, I don't remember eating a fried pickle. Did you?
No.
Okay. Did you, Joe?
I don't remember.
I think the first time I had a fried pickle was in Kansas City.
Okay.
Growing up, we didn't have, I think it's a more of a Southern, you know how like you go to the fair and they'll fry anything?
Yes.
So I don't think it's like a normal, fried pickles is not a normal food. It's not like everybody makes fried pickles. So we ordered it as an appetizer. It's more of a unique thing.
Well, most people, that's pretty common around here. But
is it common, Abby?
I don't know.
But I think the moral of this story, the moral of this story is,
I just don't want them to think that it's like on our plates
every
day. Well,
the fried pickles were okay, but once you put the ranch on it,
But what about the pickle itself, the fried pickle?
It's good. But salty and some different taste.
Yeah.
But ranch is very not good for me.
It's not good for us either.
It's not good. Okay, so do you guys make pickles or pickled anything in India?
Yeah, in India we have make the pickles with the mango pickle and tomato pickle.
Oh, really? And, I don't know if I've ever heard that
we
before.
We have the different pickles people like very much. Hmm. They eat pickle with rice.
Okay.
That is very tasty.
So but they don't dip it in ranch.
Yeah, no.
Well, we're not video recording. You should see his face. It's kind of a look of displeasure. We're talking about but anyway, we're not here to talk about pickles and ranch today.
You're
but
not.
We just had a wonderful lunch together.
Really?
And
I like fish.
There you go, fish.
Yeah, I like fish.
And so, well, Pastor Elisha, we're so glad you could be with us today. And you know, we're just going to talk. You're one of our GO partners here at the church. So,
yes, sir.
So he's one of our five global GO partners, and his work is in India, and I'm going to let him tell you all about that. And you know what? I hope and pray is that by the time our conversation is over here today, not only will you as the listener have a deeper understanding and knowledge of who Pastor Elisha is and his ministry, but also will be armed to pray, pray for the work that's going on, better in touch with what's going on the other side of the planet where he ministers. And I believe that's all going to be accomplished today. So why don't we just start? We're going to let you start from the beginning. I know a little bit of how your family came to know Jesus, but tell us, just introduce yourself to us, and then we'll kind of go back to how Christianity came into your family. So why don't you kick us off? Tell us a little bit about you.
Hello, New Life Christian Church. I am very thankful to you all. This is Pastor Elisha, Grace Ministries, India.
Yeah.
I am very happy to be with you all. Thank you for your spiritual and support, encouragement to do more ministry in India.
Now, you guys might remember Pastor Elisha. He joined us. The first time he was able to join us for something at New Life was last year. We did our 50th anniversary out in the park, and he was able to come join us. And I had him come up on stage, and I still remember, like you said, he ran up there and he said, "Hello, greetings from India."
That was fantastic.
And Grace Ministries is the ministry lead in India, tell us a little bit about how Christianity came into your family, starting with your father. Go ahead, help us. This is an amazing story.
First of all, I would like to share about India.
Yeah.
Do you know India mentioned in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Esther chapter 1, verse 1, if you find India from the Bible.
Okay.
And chapter 8, verse 9, two times India mentioned in the Bible. So one of the disciples of Jesus, Apostle Thomas, he came to India. He brought gospel to India in AD 52.
Mm-hmm.
He came to Kerala, and some of the Hindu radicals killed Thomas in India. Apostle Thomas, he died in India also.
Wow.
In AD 72.
Okay.
So in India we have the plenty of gods. The largest population country in the world is India.
Mm-hmm.
Now we overtake China also. So many people, and we have 33 million gods in India.
33 million gods.
Yes, 33 million. Wherever you go, you can find plenty of gods on streets and in their villages and the families. Plenty of gods. People worship all the creation. We know there is only one God who created all this universe, the heavens and earth. So that is Jesus. But in India, people worship everything. Even in my village, people, they worship mushrooms.
Wow.
Yeah, people like to eat mushrooms. But my village, people, even they bow down in front of the mushroom god. They worship the mushrooms. We have the very big temples and the statues, the idols.
Wow.
In my next village, I have 135 feet height statues, idols. The people worship, they give money, they offer the hair, they offer the fruits and everything. So we need prayers for India.
Did you say they offer hair?
Yeah,
and hair. Fruits.
Yeah, fruits and money.
Interesting.
I would have a hard time offering hair.
you can pull it from your face.
Well, I could pull it from my beard. Well, so Pastor Elisha, when he was telling that, he's pulling at his hair.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, it's a good thing I worship the one true God.
Amen.
Because he does not require me to offer hair as a sacrifice.
That is.
Interesting. Yeah. So the idols, you said, like even the statues are just everywhere.
135 feet tall statues.
135 feet tall statues
idols.
In my area.
Wow.
People worship that.
Wow.
They worship the rocks and trees and all the rivers.
And this is all offshoot of Hinduism.
Yeah,
Hinduism. With all the different gods, millions of gods within
Hinduism. They believe in 33 million gods.
Yep.
They worship mushrooms,
yes.
You said. do they, if they worship a mushroom, would they eat a mushroom?
No, that
people... If they think it's a god?
That people who they worship the mushroom, they don't eat. Mm-hmm. But other people, they eat mushrooms.
We fry mushrooms here, just like the pickles.
I'm trying to think, and I don't mean to be sarcastic about this, but how would you even go about picking out of a 33 million gods, how would you identify which ones? Because like here's how I relate this to, and this is so silly, it's almost embarrassing, but I'm about to say it. Kirsten and I last week ate at a Cheesecake Factory, and that menu is huge. It's like reading a book. There are hundreds of menu items. I didn't even know what I wanted to eat. And I'm kind of like, how would you pick? Like, there's a huge menu of gods to choose from.
How do they pick?
How would you even identify which god you're supposed to worship? How do they do that?
Oh, thank you, Pastor Joe, about asking about that. Yeah, my father, he don't know about Jesus, but in my father's life, he lost his all six children. So one by one, he lost all his six children. Mm-hmm. He don't know what is happening, some curse or some what is happening, he don't know. But he was very sad because he lost all his children. So that moment, six died.
From like sickness?
Sickness, and someone took poison, and someone the snake bite, and someone died in the water, and like that, all six died.
Oh my.
Yeah, you don't know why it's happening, and why God, hello, we have plenty of gods, why it's happening. He don't know, he was very sad. In that moment, one of the pastor came to my village and he shared the gospel with my father first time. So then my father, he heard the gospel, then he believed in Jesus. He accepted Jesus as his personal savior first time.
Amen.
So my father was the first Christian in my whole village.
Wow.
So then he accepted Jesus and he got baptized. When my father baptized, the village leaders came to my father. They beaten my father.
They beat him because he got baptized?
Yeah, because he accepted another god. They said, in India, we have plenty of gods in India. Why don't you choose one of our Indian gods? We have 33 million gods. Mm. You choose another extra god. Jesus is a foreign god. He's American god. If you ask in India, who is Jesus? They said, Jesus is American God.
Wow.
They said like that. So they said to my father, they beaten my father, and even they don't give the permission to bring the water from the well because he accepted American God. They said like that.
They weren't even going to give him the water to be baptized. Or they took the water from him because... In their mind, from their perspective, you're worshiping a false god. Now, isn't that interesting? Because we would, all of us in this room, agree that these 33 million gods are false gods. So to worship them would be worshiping a false god, but they flipped it around.
Yeah, that
and
is.
They flipped it around and said, your dad is worshiping the false god.
False god.
Because you follow Jesus. That's an American god.
Yeah,
So they don't know much about Jesus then if they call him the American god, because Jesus was not born in America.
Yeah.
Well, they associate him with the United States.
Yeah, the American.
So they beat you. American religion. They beat your father because he chose to follow Jesus and get baptized, and then they took his water away.
Yeah.
Wow.
And my father, he went to other place and he bring the water, and he is very strong in his faith. So he realized, yes, Jesus is a real God. Because when he continued in his faith, God blessed him eight more children
after your siblings all passed away.
Yes, yes.
He had eight more. Wow.
Five sons and three daughters. So then we have very strong faith in Jesus, because Jesus is a restoration God. Mm-hmm. So then that's why my father, he put all eight names from the Bible names.
Oh.
Yeah. My elder brother Abraham, second brother John, third one Moses, fourth me Elisha, and fifth brother Paul. And my elder sister Lydia, second sister Sharon Pushpa, and third sister Esther.
Oh my goodness.
Put all 8 names from the Bible. Because they strongly believe in Jesus Christ.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's not something you hear in India.
Yes.
To have, like, you know what I mean? Like, Bible names. That's awesome. Good
well,
for him.
Are there a lot of Abrahams walking around in the streets of India? My
or
name's
even
Abraham.
In the street. Well, it might be more common here, but yeah, in India, that's interesting.
Do you know if there is a Christian name, they don't have the reservation and scholarship because of Christian name in India? That is very hard.
So you don't get a scholarship for college if you have a Christian name?
Yes.
Because they immediately associate you with Jesus if you have a Christian name.
Yeah, and no scholarship, no reservation in the jobs.
Wow. So that's it's not, why. Yeah, it's not just that you declare you're Christian. He named his children intentionally give Christian names. Like their identification came through their name, really. Yes, I am. It's hard to hide the fact in India, what's your name on this job application?
Abraham.
My name is Abraham.
Yes.
Well, we're gonna move on to the next application.
Are your siblings all believers?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
They are all believers.
Awesome.
The school teachers, they called my father to the school and they argued with my father, why you keep all the Bible names? So if you keep these names, you lose your children's scholarship and reservation and everything. But my father don't agree with the school teachers. Mm. They said, God will take care of my children. Don't change their names. I strongly believe in Jesus. He said like that.
So they wanted to change the names
at
the school.
Yeah, teachers wanted to change our names.
They didn't want to call them a Christian name.
Yeah, Christian name. And secondary, they don't want to lose our scholarship and our benefits from the government.
Wow.
And so tell them what your father did, because he wouldn't change the name. Yeah. So he lost the scholarship.
Yes. My father, he went to forest and he cut the firewood daily 3 times. He sell in the market. With that money, he take care of his children and he take care of their education, my education.
So your dad paid for all your school out of his own pocket 3 times a day. He'd go to the forest, cut firewood, come back and sell it, just so you guys could go to school and not change your names.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that something? Special man, isn't he? Special man. And it all started because somebody came to your village and shared the good news. Your father was in a season of confusion and stress because he had lost 6 children.
Yes.
Like, what is going on here? He gets introduced to Jesus. He surrenders his life to Jesus.
Yes.
Gets baptized. God blesses him with 8 more children.
8 more.
To honor the Lord, he gave all of you Christian names.
Christian names.
And then, and suffered because of that. Got beat up for that and persecuted financially for the school.
Yes.
And he just trusted the Lord through all of that. I'm not changing the names. The Lord's got my family. I'm just going to do what I got to do. And I that's an amazing testimony.
And sacrifice. Yeah. I mean, that's so much sacrifice that he was like, I'm willing to do all this for these kids so that they can keep their Christian name.
Yes, yes.
And be
I
in school.
Know my father, he was always kneel down and pray.
Mm-hmm.
And even my father, he was illiterate, mm-hmm. but he always carry his Bible. He love his Bible. He was a Bible lover. And he walked our local villages. He shared the gospel. He shout and shared the gospel like an evangelist. Still, I remember him. And even if I go to my next villages now, they ask about my father.
Oh,
yeah.
That's got to make you smile.
He was
sure.
Very crazy about gospel and Jesus. He has carried the gospel wherever he goes.
So he was illiterate. But he could, so he couldn't read the Bible, but he knew it.
Yes.
So he could share it.
Shared, yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
That is awesome.
And one day he told me, while his passion is to read the Bible. So he always kneeled down and asking God to help me to read the Bible, to know more about you and everything. Then the Holy Spirit, God helped him to recognize the letters from the Bible. Slowly, one letter. After that, he can able to read the Bible.
Wow.
That is his testimony.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
I love
but,
that.
Yeah, and I hear that, and I listen to that, and I think how many of us, we can read, and we choose not to.
Wow.
He couldn't read, and he asked God, one thing I want more than anything is to help me read this Bible. And I just think, man, if those of us that can read it had the same hunger for God's word, it would change the world, wouldn't we?
Yes.
You know, I'm a firm believer that everywhere that Jesus has preached, lives change. And your dad couldn't even read it initially, but he still preached it, and lives changed.
Yes.
And
So that story kind of got you into, obviously you were raised in a Christian home then.
Yeah, because of my father, yes.
So did your mother become a Christian?
Yes, my mother and all my brothers and sisters, all are saved. And we are the Christian families in our area.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So where, let me go back to this. So you were raised in a Christian home. And then you met, because you're married, met your wife.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about meeting her, because in India, it's different than here in the States.
Yes.
Because it's an arranged marriage. And so how and when did you meet her?
Okay, let me share about marriages in India. So age of marriage, 21 for males and 18 for females in India, the age.
So a male has to be 21 before he can marry, and a female has to be at least 18.
18 yep. years. So approximately 90% of the marriages in India are still arranged marriages.
90% are arranged.
The both side parents.
I wonder what the percentage here in the States would be for arranged marriage.
Well, nobody arranges marriage.
Well,
here.
I wouldn't say nobody, but I would say it would be less than 1%.
I don't know. That's a good.
Abby's on
should
her.
Should we look it up?
Yeah, Abby's on it.
Abby's
we
our
might
researcher.
Have an answer because
so
I would say it's like
90% of the population still arranges the marriages for their children.
Yes.
Okay.
So your parents already knew who they were gonna set you up with.
Well, I think he's going to tell us what
about
happened.
About my marriage, I don't know about my wife before my marriage.
I didn't know about your wife.
I don't know about her. I am in the ministry. I am already pastoring. So one of the pastor came to my village one fine day, and he told me with my family about my wife. So there is a one girl. She already completed her Bible studies, and her family also Christian family. So let's come and see and introduce their family. Then we went there. First time. Before that, I don't know about my wife. So
it was really your pastor who knew her and said your parents should come meet her and maybe consider this arrangement.
Yes,
see, I just want to say this. When I refer to myself as Dr. Love, Pastor Love, listen, it's not crazy. Right there, Pastor Elijah, his pastor set his family up. And
but I don't think Pastor Elisha is calling his pastor Pastor Love.
Well, but his
Dr.
pastor,
Love.
He said, hey, I know of this family over here, and they've got a wonderful Christian daughter, a Christian family, and he's saying, in my mind, this will work. And so he arranged you guys to get together.
Yes.
So talk about that. Her parents and your parents are talking.
Yes.
But she and you are in the same room together. This is the first time you've ever seen her.
Yes.
But you're not allowed to say anything.
Not allowed to say anything. Just looking only.
Just looking
oh my
only.
Goodness.
Yes. Just I looked to her and
did you
she
smile?
Looked to, yeah, she looked to me. Maybe they see their how she look like, and she look at me how I am and everything.
Did you look at her and wink at her just a little bit?
No, because all the my relatives or parents look at to me what he saying. If I do like that, that is they beating me.
So you're being interviewed.
Yeah.
Now that is so different than dating today.
It's an interview process, which I find fascinating. So, like, help us understand what kind of questions they ask in that, like, meeting time.
In the meeting, most of the time they ask about their family backgrounds, mm-hmm. and what she studied and what is doing now. And they ask both families like that. So then they ask the boy and girl, so he is okay for you or she is okay. And then if I said okay, she said okay, they go for the marriage date. They fix the date.
Oh my.
For the marriage.
They just go right there.
So like, there's okay. The interview. Yeah. And then do they ask you privately? So do your parents... Or is it right there in front of everybody?
Yeah, they ask that girl privately.
Okay.
They took her into the inside.
Oh, praise the Lord for that.
Yeah,
because
inside.
No one wants to be like, no, he ain't doing it for me.
Yeah, inside. If there is something to think, they said, we will meet again.
Okay.
Yeah, then they dispatch there.
So there might be a second interview.
Yeah.
So then... You both agree, say, yeah, I like this person.
Yes.
And then the family's like, this is compatible. We think this is good. And then they go straight, they set a marriage date, and you don't see her again until your marriage day,
yes.
right?
Yes.
So you have the one conversation, and then on the wedding day.
And before wedding, they do one ceremony, like engagement.
An engagement ceremony?
Engagement ceremony.
Gotcha. Okay.
Before wedding. So that time, they can see each other, and they can give the ring or garlands, mm-hmm. that time. Then they can talk that time. But that's all only. No, go outside and nothing. No permission.
Not you're not private. Going. You're not it's going not, to the movies together.
Yes,
no, there's no dating. There's
so it's not like you sit down for lunch and over a Diet Coke like Joe would do over Chipotle.
On that day is okay.
Okay.
And then engagement day is okay.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay.
But until marriage, you don't do anything. Don't go outside. No movies. No lunch. No hotels.
But this is interesting because the marriage rate, success rate, I should say, is way higher in India than in the States.
The divorce is still uncommon in India.
Divorce is still uncommon?
Yeah, because most of the people, they unite. Even if her husband is not good or drunk, still that woman, she continue with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's against the law for him to cheat on her.
Yeah, yeah.
So if he were to step outside the marriage, he would be arrested.
Yeah.
And put in jail. I mean, but it's the very high, very low
very
divorce
low,
rate.
Yeah.
Very low
which is
divorce
rate. So you met your wife in 2010.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that just before 3 months, I met my wife, and within 3 months, the engagement is done. And then already the marriage also, they fixed the marriage date also. Within 3 months, I got her marriage.
Wow.
From 3 months?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like from meeting her, engaged, and married.
Married. 3 months.
Wow.
But that's normal.
Yeah.
That's how everybody does it. Well, you know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I think we should have arranged marriages in the United States.
I wonder if your boys will go for that.
They would not.
Well, and it says that worldwide, half of marriages are arranged.
Half in the worldwide.
Yeah, in the world.
Did we find any stats for the United States?
It says it's you not can't existent. Quantify it because it's such a rare phenomenon in the U.S. to have an arranged marriage.
So at lunch today, we were trying to explain dating apps to Pastor Elisha.
I was like, do they have dating apps?
And he's like,
swipe.
I don't know if he understood everything we were saying, but he goes, that does not happen in our country.
Yes, yes. Well, especially if you don't date. I mean, and 90% are arranged.
Even so. Most of the people, they don't know about dating.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That would make sense. Yeah. Because what's normal in our culture, that's normal in your culture. Okay. And it's that's really fascinating. And the same way, it's really beautiful.
Well,
because then there's this commitment.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, there's a commitment to each other.
Well, we hope we get to meet your wife and kids someday.
Yeah, so you have a wife and then three children?
Yes, I have my beautiful wife. Her name is Sumalata. And God blessed us three daughters. Shiny, now 15 years. Shrestha, it means the best one. Now she is 13 years. And Smiley. Now she's 12 years.
I love that.
Yeah.
So I was telling Pastor Elisha that we have another Go partner, and her name is Shiny as well. And so I think that's really neat. That's how I remember your oldest, Shiny. Yeah. And then Smiley, which
Smiley. And Shrestha. Shrestha means the best.
The best.
Yeah.
So does she hold that over her siblings? She's like, just don't forget, I was named the best.
But you gave it to your middle daughter, so that's a good move. Because the middle daughter
I took that name from James chapter 1. Every best thing came from the God.
The Lord. Oh,
That is, I chose that word and I give her name.
That's amazing.
I love it. Going backwards just a little bit. So your father has 8 more children. They're all following Jesus. How did you, tell us a little bit about how you chose for yourself to follow Jesus? Because obviously your father, I mean, he set the example. How did you know that that's what you also wanted to do? And then what happened after that? How did you go from there to the ministry? Because you were already in the ministry before you got married.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And that was part of the interview process. 2 Christian families. They knew you were in the ministry.
Yes.
That you'd be a good match for our daughter. So tell us a little bit about how you became a Christian and how you found yourself in the ministry.
So my father, his desire is his children also do God's work, because we have to do more work in India.
Mm-hmm.
In India, 2.3% Christians in India. 2.3% only.
Mm-hmm.
80% of the people, they worship the creation. 13% of the people, they are Muslims in India. Christianity, 2.3%. So my father's heart desire is to share the good news to everybody in our local villages. Mm-hmm. That's why he always kneel down and pray about myself and my brothers, Lord, and use them and for your ministry. That's why he always praying for us.
Mm-hmm.
So when I completed my college studies,
mm-hmm.
so even my father, he is unable to pay for my college fee.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I stopped my college.
Mm.
Then I went to some private works. So I work in the quarries, the metal works. And I used to work in the bus station to clean the buses.
Mm-hmm.
I used to work to sell soda on the streets. Soda, you know, what you called the drink.
Okay.
Soda.
Soda.
Oh, soda. Soda. Soda.
Yeah, no. I am a soda seller.
Oh, gotcha.
Soda.
Gotcha.
Soda.
Yeah.
Soda.
We sometimes call it pop. You know, so soda pop.
Soft drinks.
Yeah.
I am a soda seller on the street.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I use it to work. Even if you see my hands and fingers, when I use it to work in the mines, all the cut my fingers and everything. Still that marks in my hands.
Oh, wow.
We worked very hard work. So when I am working in the bus station to cleaning the buses, then that night God spoke with me. So I stopped there and I am crying, and God told me, so I have chosen you, so you are not supposed to do this work, you have to do my work. So I chosen you, I elect you. Then I hear the voice that midnight. So then I realize, yes. Then in the morning, I wake up and I go to the I went to the church. Then first time I started to clean the church. My duty is to clean the church and put the water and the mats and to set up the sound system. That's I started the ministry like that.
Really?
So from that, slowly I am in the church. Then God gave the opportunity. He called me to go outside and to share the tracts and distribute the Bibles. And in 2002, so God called me to full-time ministry. So from that that day onwards, I am the ministry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
How old were you in 2002?
Now I am 48 years.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So in 2002, you would have been in your early 20s.
Yeah. That okay. time only God called me.
Awesome. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm really encouraged just listening to, and we're just getting started as well, but what a powerful testimony of God coming into a family's life and absolutely changing their family tree, mm-hmm. absolutely changing the family tree. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to invite you, come back next week where we're going to finish this great conversation with Pastor Elisha.
That's all for today's show. We want to thank our amazing producer, Abby O'Brien. Be sure to check out our show notes and the links for things that we talked about today. And don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for joining us on
Under the Hood, Not a Car Show.